Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
I'd be hurt if Nebraska wasn't interested in me. We're undefeated. I'm from there. When you win, a lot of people are interested in you. That doesn't matter. Like I said, what matters is these players and what they've accomplished.
Well, there's Scott's comments yesterday you heard about. You heard it now. You got to read them. Great to have you in on a Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you can dial us up, can join the show, can tap the line with Schilling Bridge Court, can tap house 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865 on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio. And also find us via email, chris@hailvarsity.com. A lot to get to with Mitch Sherman here in 15 minutes. College football playoff, coaching carousel, the mullet, Gundy, Tennessee, and the sheriff, along with A.D. Curry. Is that what happened in Dallas today? Was there a four-person booth, one for Gundy and the mullet? Is he leaving Stillwater? We'll spend some time with that. Thoughts here on Scott Frost and what he's going through right now. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, with this Big Ten Buffet in 1 hour. Recruiting thoughts from Mr. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity, also in hour two. Well, I kind of want to get into a popular term that's used by Bill Moose, and he said it a few times. And that's the table is set, right? The table's set. Everything's here for you. And everything is set up. You don't need to get new facilities. You have great facilities. Jimbo Fisher, one of the reasons he's looking at A&M, because he'll have an indoor facility. Doesn't have one at Florida State, or doesn't have a very good one at Florida State. So you have facilities, you have the fan base, you have the passion, you have the support, you'll have whatever you need when it comes to personnel and support staff. Just go win, baby. That's kind of what's next for Scott. If it's Scott, when it's Scott, let's just say it's Scott until it's not. So interesting article in the World Herald today. When it comes to, you know, what Trent Bray's doing right now, and what is that table going to look like when Scott Frost or the next coach walks into Nebraska football? And imagine the players all gathered around a monster table. We got Animal House scene of a food fight, dysfunction, anger, Bluto jamming a burger into his mouth, and then some mashed potatoes. Or is it kind of calm? And hey, have a seat at the table here. Let's talk. And it's a vast difference to 2014. That is so important right now, as you've had players get on social media, some wideouts, some guys that are pretty young in the program, and they're not real happy right now. They're emotional right now. They're frustrated right now that their position coach isn't around, Dante or Keith. You've had guys kind of wonder about their future, and you've had former guys who've gone through this mess before. Scott Shanley on social media, Jay Moore yesterday on our show, Searles, dear friend of ours from the Vikings, and just hang in there is pretty much what's being told. And I'm wondering what type of table the new head coach is going to walk into, a stocked, stacked, well set up table, or is it going to be a messy, dysfunctional cloud of negativity? And that's something that Trent Bray got into with the Bo Pelini firing. There was a lot of negativity, and I'm quoting Bray in the World Herald. A lot of the players felt like they had to choose sides. Can you do that within a week's time before the coaching announcement's made? Can Trent Bray, and it's, that's a tough ask, but I am asking it. Can your athletic director, can your interim head coach, can your support staff that's there, can they soothe some feelings and put that red N first when it comes to kind of calming things down? And I have no doubt that Riley and his staff and his assistants walked into, it wasn't a parade, it was an ambush. And I don't know if you're pro or con Bo Pelini, but how he left things and what he said really kind of, it didn't just stir the pot, it set the house on fire. And at that time, it's so hard to take the high road. He certainly did not. I commend anyone who can take the high road because it's hard. But right now you have the high road being taken by Trent Bray, by Mike Riley, for sure Mike Riley, who shows up to his own firing. And now that high road needs to exist, or there needs to be a bridge to connect it for these players and this new staff that comes in. And you'll have some negativity, you'll have some bitterness, you'll have some frustration. But I would point to the fact that, look, bro, we were 4-8 last year. That's where the anger, frustration, and disappointment should be first and foremost pointed at. And the fact, if you're a player and you're a competitor, it's got to be better than 4-8. It's got to be better than 9-4 and getting drilled on TV. Let's go win some championships. Let's play at a high level. Let's get better. And I think Trent Bray is such a sound mind, a respected teacher, and a guy age-wise that a lot of these dudes can relate to, and he's just a tireless worker and recruiter. So I like Trent Bray. We can also get into with Greg Smith here in a little bit of the guys that have been dismissed who may maybe find their way back on to staff when that change is made. So how is this thing going to be, this week of waiting we're into right now when it comes to calmness, the players getting on the same page for the football team and program versus a guy they came and signed a letter of intent for, or a position group, or a head coach? That's going to be key this week. So you can't have negativity, and Bray was very honest about it plaguing their first year. And let's get into that why part of this negativity. Guys are going to feel frustrated and upset because the guy they came to play for, or wanted to play for, is no longer there. Here's the monster difference with this current group of guys, I believe, and the locker room right now versus 2014. And why you have a chance at kind of rooting out negativity. Because I think these players probably trust Bill Moose. They probably see Bill Moose and his transparency and his ability to communicate compared to what they walked into in 2014 with an athletic director that they really didn't care a lot about. They hadn't heard good things about. They probably hadn't seen a lot of positive things about. Now, after the fact, he was on the sidelines and fist bumping and trying to show support, but it was a different picture and reality up until the dismissal in 2014. That gives you a fighting chance to have a clean slate and a positive start if you're Nebraska football here in 2017 going into 2018. So Bray, he is spending time with players and recruits. It'll get better. It feels tough, and it is tough right now. And Bray himself can draw on it. That's why I really like this article. And Jay Moore kind of talked about it yesterday with having to go through the transition and the fact that, you know, Coach Solich brought him here. Coach Solich is no longer here, but he was there to play for Nebraska. And Bray went through it himself with a coaching change when he was at Oregon State, and Mike Riley ended up being his coach. And while you're angry or frustrated or you're going to take off, you're going to leave, there's greener pastures. I'm going to follow the guy wherever he ends up that I came to play for. A lot of times if you stick it out, things happen for a reason, again, quoting Jay Moore yesterday. So that's kind of where Nebraska's at right now. You can be mad about the dismissal, but you can't be mad about how it went down. If you're a player, if you're part of this staff, you were treated, at least not being in there with a mic, with how upfront. If it would have gone down awfully or shadily, you're not going to have Mike Riley there at the press conference. It's pretty professional, pretty straightforward, pretty direct. Again, back to communication and treating people with respect and well, letting them know where they stand. That's the difference between 2017 and 2014, how it was handled, how it was executed, and how it was communicated to the guys, to the players. And if you're a guy on the depth chart right now, not sure what you want to do, well, you got one of your own that thanked Bill Moose for how he handled things at his exit press conference. And you got one of your own in Trent Bray that's staying on. He could have said no to being interim head coach. And that's not how it's shaken out to be. Again, about as well done as you can do a situation as tough as this by Bill Moose and Nebraska moving forward. About as poorly done and botched in 2014, whether or not you like the guy that was let go. Your difference here is trust. And that needs to be continued to be reinforced to kind of calm the waters and set that table up for a locker room. Because think about what you're going to have at Nebraska, what you can have at Nebraska moving forward. You in all likelihood, will have Scott Frost and whatever he brings with him to the table and his culture and his leadership style and his age and his ability to relate and connect and make practices fun, but you're also working. Frost is that guy that's got the grinder mentality. He's probably the best athlete in the room, but he still trains like he's the worst athlete in the room. That small town, rural mindset of the grind every day to do the job right, get better. That's what's so awesome about the state of Nebraska, the work ethic. And you have that coming in. And then you apply that to this roster with guys that have just sick physical gifts and talents and ability. And in some instances, it shows up. It's right there. It's right there for Stanley Morgan to go for 7 catches, 185 yards, and do a top 10. Am I a wide receiver or am I playing first base with a gold glove? Well, do that beyond blowout time. Do it when it's 7-3 and it's a tight ball game versus a number 5 team in the country. You have a chance to get better and grow from that with this transition. Take all of the good that you experienced with the previous staff and position coaches, and then the knowledge and energy and excitement from what you're going to have with this new staff and new head coach, presumably. Then you just kind of band it together, and it was a weird but effective college experience. That's the direction you go, and commend Trent Bray for kind of being professional to the level he has been, and Bill Moose with where they're at. Can be mad about the dismissal, but you can't be mad about how it went down. A vast difference. And that's your block right there to negativity. That's your answer to the negativity. You got to win some ball games. A lot of guys on this staff that just got dismissed will tell you, dude, we're going in the right direction. We have the plan laid out. We're ready to rock. Just needed more time. But along the way, you need to win games to justify more time. So you think Nebraska can start fresh and have a pretty positive step forward versus its recent past with walking into a locker room full of doubt, frustration, and anger? I think so, because of the leadership you now have in place, on hand, and that is going to be a monster just feather in your hat moving forward here in 2018. Because you've got recruits, you got a pretty good roster of some skill guys and talent. Schedule is your schedule. We will all say prayers for it. Because it's a mother. But you have a guy in Bill Moose there that's ready to get things off on the right foot along with Trent Bray. Let's talk a little bit here about Rockbrook Camera. Hope you took advantage of their Cyber Monday and Black Friday specials. If you haven't seen the latest issue of HailVarsity.com or you didn't log on to see Senior Day Picks with Aaron Babcock, you can still do that, HailVarsity.com. But Rockbrook Camera and Sony make it happen along with that tremendous talent from Aaron Babcock. So the trust that we've talked a lot about, that trust is in the hands of Aaron Babcock with the Sony camera from Rockbrook Camera. The mirrorless imaging technology achieves new dimensions in photographic speed and performance. And how about size and weight? It's a fraction of the size and weight of traditional digital SLR cameras. Don't believe me? Check it out for yourself. Three area locations for you. And check out the amazing selection of Rockbrook cameras, rockbrookcamera.com. Those Sony cameras, if you're amateur or you want to be a professional or you want to just do the best you can do with photography, Rockbrook Camera and Sony is where you go. Mitch Sherman, we'll talk college football playoff. We'll get his thoughts on Scott Frost, the Bill News presser, Gundy and his mullet to Rocky Top. Think about this. He'll roll out. He'll still wear a shirt but no sleeves. He's got an orange shirt with no sleeves and a mullet headband. He's set.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Coming up, we'll run down Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Greg Smith on recruiting. Welcome in Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. Getting through the week. How about you?
That's kind of what it feels like, where we're just waiting for news and information and when to show up again. And then let's move on to the next phase of Nebraska football. Mitch, what did you think of Scott Frost's comments with his press conference and call-in session yesterday when it came to answering or responding to Nebraska questions?
I was surprised that he was as candid and open as he was yesterday, because it hasn't been that way in the past couple of weeks. Maybe there's been a decision on his part. It seems that he was close to saying goodbye at UCF, and you continue to hear some of those same sentiments from UCF players, at least Mackenzie Milton today. You know, maybe we're all going to be surprised and Scott's going to say something other than what's expected on the weekend, but it seems that he's preparing to make a move, and the writing is on the wall. At least that's what I read into yesterday. I suppose others could have viewed it differently.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Mitch, when you look at Nebraska's situation right now and kind of the waiting right now, and Trent Bray's your interim, and you've still got some recruiting folks trying to keep that thing pieced together, can Nebraska, and this is how I started the show, with, you know, what are you walking into as a new coach and a new staff at Nebraska from a locker room standpoint? Are you walking into anger and frustration a la 3 years ago, or are you walking into an open mind? And that's where I'm at, and that's just a really tough situation for coaches and players to be into. And I ask you this specifically based on some of the social media responses and statements made by some Nebraska players.
I'd be surprised if you ever encountered a situation like this where there weren't players who had those kind of sentiments. It's unfortunate but expected for Nebraska that the guys whose voices have been the loudest are the ones who seem to be maybe most valuable to Nebraska in moving forward and being the best that it can be in 2018. Certainly you don't want to see Nebraska lose Stanley Morgan and J.D. Spielman and Tanner Lee, for that matter, although it's debatable how well he'll fit into the offense. And I know the receivers in particular have been vocal, and it's understandable that they are upset that their position coach was not retained, but that's the business. And Scott Frost or whomever the next coach is at Nebraska will have a chance to evaluate everybody who was on the staff. So I think it's premature to jump to conclusions that this player or that player won't be around next season. If they've got remaining eligibility, the next staff is most likely going to fight for those guys to stay and try to convince those guys to stay. And it seems that the next coaching staff has an ally here in Trent Bray, which is not always the case when you have a transition. I think that he'll be valuable, at least in the short term, for the next coaching staff to have a smooth transition and to limit the amount of defections that there are from this current team.
What do you think of Bill Moose and his transparency?
Well, it's probably not something that should surprise me, because that's the way he's been since October 15th when he was introduced. But I continue to be surprised by how open he is in answering basically everything that's thrown at him. Not surprised that he did say at the end of his press conference, "This is the last time you're going to hear from me until until I have an announcement to make or a coach to introduce." Very, very rarely do you run into a situation where an athletic director is updating the media and the public regularly throughout a coaching search. And I don't even really think that Bill Moose is conducting a coaching search right now. It seems that he's waiting on Scott Frost and maybe has an answer. You don't really ever have an answer until that thing is done, until he's signed a contract and he's sitting in front of your background with the click it or ticket, the red background. So there's some degree of anticipation and anxiety, I'm sure, even on his part as this week goes on. But he struck me with the way that he answered questions as a person who was confident in the way it was going to turn out.
You know, he has been a big-time communicator and extremely confident. Nebraska fans got to be happy about that trait and both those traits in Bill Moose. Let's talk Tennessee, and it's looked the opposite with A.D. Curry, and the Tennessee folks are hoping to hear from the mullet. At some point, they got a chance to have lunch with the mullet. Coach Gundy's been just fabulous at Oklahoma State. I want to start with Tennessee before we get to Gundy. And, Mitch, you've covered college football nationally for a long time. And you've seen botches, and you've seen fumbles, and you've seen touchdowns when it comes to hiring and firing and the silly season. What do you make of, and what's your response to Tennessee in their last 48 to 72 hours?
It's different, Chris, for sure, than anything we've seen before at this time of year. I don't think we've ever seen the inmates run the asylum quite the way that Tennessee fans did on Sunday. I think it has repercussions for the next coach, potentially. I mean, Tennessee may go get Mike Gundy or Lane Kiffin or T. Martin or whomever they get and never have to hear about that day again. I'm sure Tennessee hopes they don't have to hear about that day again, but the concern right now, I'm sure, on the part of their administration is what happens when a coaching candidate asks if they're going to have his back down the road.
Right.
If the fan base is going to be able to control things in the future the way it did in that situation with Greg Schiano. And you can argue however you want about Greg Schiano. I don't think that his association with Penn State I don't think that the Tennessee fans as a whole, in the majority of them, or even a significant portion, were seriously outraged about what happened in the 1990s at Penn State. It is hearsay and unsubstantiated at this point, and it's been okay with Ohio State. They are satisfied with his character. Mm-hmm. So me, that was...
So was Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that was a way to show their displeasure for a coach whose on-field credentials they did not approve of. And maybe it wasn't the best choice. It probably wasn't the best choice for Tennessee, but it's the choice that John Curry made, and the fans vetoed it. And that's a dangerous precedent. So we'll see how it works out for Tennessee. It may not have long-term repercussions. That's all to be determined by the coach that school ends up with, and you know how he does, and what happens down the road when there are issues that the fans want to get involved in. So that's a lot I said there about the situation.
Right,
I'm not sure if it's what you were looking for, but it was eye-opening, and as I said, different from anything that I've ever seen before at this time of year.
Mitch, got about 3 minutes. I need a thought here on what you believe Jimbo Fisher does. Why would he leave Florida State? And if he can squeeze in Oklahoma State and Gundy, is he ready to get out of there?
Yeah, I don't have insight into Jimbo Fisher. I know he's done this before where he's entertained other options. You know, Texas A&M is a different kind of challenge for him. I think he would enjoy, if he does end up accepting that, I think part of the reason is that he would enjoy being the guy who could challenge Nick Saban in that division in the SEC West. Texas A&M is the school that is resourced well, best mm-hmm. enough to be able to do it within the division. I mean, Auburn did it last week, but it hasn't been a long-term thing. Alabama has owned that rivalry, and I don't know that there'll ever be a day, or at least not in the near future, at least not while Nick Saban's coaching, that Auburn is a better program than Alabama. Texas A&M has a shot to be that program because of the prestige involved with all that Texas A&M has. It's short on championships, but they have a lot of pride and they have a lot of money. So I think he would welcome that challenge, and maybe that will be what gets him to finally leave Florida State. I mean, it's a perfect storm, I suppose, in that Florida State has had a disastrous year. He's probably feeling unappreciated, and here comes this opening at a school in the division with Alabama that could be the spot for Jimbo to do it. And you know, I don't want to discount LSU, because certainly they are extremely well resourced too. But there's just a lot going on in that division, and I think he might welcome the opportunity to be a part of it. Gundy, I'll believe it when I see it. I don't think he's going to leave Oklahoma State for Tennessee. I think that he's had other opportunities that were maybe more enticing, and that's a little bit of a dumpster fire to walk into. I think he's in a better spot in Stillwater, where he is loved there, and it is his show to run. And yeah, there are things to deal with, but you're going to have things to deal with everywhere, and it's there's a lot more to deal with on the outside in Knoxville in so many different ways than you've got at Oklahoma State. He just signed a new contract. I got a big extension last year. I think it's a courtesy chat. I don't see that going anywhere.
Mitch Sherman will have all the college football info you want. He'll keep you updated on Nebraska. You can follow him on Twitter at Mitch Sherman, and read him with ESPN.com. Mitch, about 20 seconds. What's up next for you?
Just waiting around for this great championship Saturday. You know, this is a day unlike any that we've seen and maybe forever in college football. You know, you wanted an 18 playoff. In some ways, you've got it on Saturday. These are quarterfinal games. If not officially, they are unofficially in many ways. So looking forward to Saturday, monitoring those games, monitoring the events at UCF, and see what comes after that. And I think we'll have a busy Sunday and Monday in Lincoln.
I think so, too. Mitch, you be good. Thanks so much, bud.
Thanks, Chris.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Stuff from Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, and said a lot, but I think he's very on it with Nebraska and the next staff having an ally in Trent Bray to bridge things. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork can tap us. We'll get into the coaching carousel. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. We'll talk to him. Things could get messy on Saturday with Championship Saturday. And your playoff picture could look, well, a lot like maybe your buddy's off-campus party place after a late Saturday. Just shut your eyes and imagine the empty bottles and pizza boxes and your dog curled up with your buddy, both snoring. That's what could happen. It's not, do you get a two-loss team? How many two-loss teams do you get in there? So we'll talk with Mr. Rick Pizzo about Bama v. Ohio State because it could be an arm wrestling match between those two. Let's spend a second on Gundy. Then we'll get into some Nebraska and roster talk and situations. If you're the mullet, if you're Gundy, do you break out of Stillwater? You spent 4 years there as a player, great quarterback in 88 with Barry Sanders. Then as like a 23 or 25-year-old, I know I should ask Dean Blevins, but then you're a position coach. And then you get the gig and do really well with it after Les Miles. How funny would it be if Les Miles ended up back at Oklahoma State if Gundy jumps to Rocky Top, by the way. So you've been there, you've been head coach 13 years, you've been an assistant longer, and together you've put two decades plus in. And you got, you know, Boone Pickens, T. Boone Pickens, his money, you rose to prominence, you had just a great crack at winning the national championship or being in the championship picture, and you got upset by Paul Rhodes and Iowa State on a Friday night. But you are good and you are explosive all the time, but you're really good every 3 or 4 years. I mean, you might have a 7-5 or an 8-4, and you're getting paid the amount of money that you are. You're cranking out 9-10 wins, and you're going to New Year's Day sixes. They are. I mean, they're incredible. And he is finding talent from the state of Texas at quarterback, at running back, at wideout, at defensive line, at safety, at linebacker. They're just good. They are very good. But you're never going to beat Oklahoma in the hearts and minds of that state. So you're always second tier in your home state. No matter how good you do, you're always second tier in Oklahoma. And then, you know, him and Boone got a hug and make up every couple, 3 years, it feels like, or it seems like. And you just don't need the aggravation. It's, hey, here's some money. We're proud of you. And then you bump into him. You know, I put an extra zero on your check. Thanks for the reminder. I already told you thanks. Shut up. I mean, that's the constant there. On top of the fact you'll never be king of that state. And let's just talk about recency. The year to do it was this year. Oklahoma State's schedule was home. They had everybody at home. They had TCU at home. They had Oklahoma at home. They had Kansas State at home. And I'm not thumbing my nose at a team that goes 9-3. God knows we would take that again here, where you're between 15 and 10 and you creep in to the top 10. And when you lose, it's entertaining. Not embarrassing. Difference in the way you lose. Well, it was an entertaining loss, not an embarrassing loss. And right now, if you're mullet Gundy, this is the year to get out if you're ever going to leave. Because at some point, as long as Boone's still roaming around, there's the danger of him getting pissed off at you and not being able to kiss and make up, and he's the one who will sink you and fire you because he controls the bank of Oklahoma State. Period. And that could happen at Tennessee. That could happen with Curry. Oops, sorry. So he pulls a Frank Underwood and shoves you in front of the old bus. Very, very doable too. But maybe for just peace of mind, knowing that you didn't hit the number this year, you could have gone 9-3 and still lost to Oklahoma or TCU. But those games really weren't tight. I mean, there was a score fest, and you didn't deliver. You didn't make it happen, and this was your year to do it. So maybe you do look. I know you're a man and you're 40 and you're pushing 50 now. He might be 50. But maybe this is the year you trade orange hunting vests and you learn to sing Rocky Top. I don't think money's ever going to be the problem at Oklahoma State or Tennessee. You just want the headache to go away of being second fiddle and eventually when you do underachieve because you haven't gotten over the hump to a championship level, it causing your termination. Nate, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
How are you, Chris?
I'm good, man. I'm this carousel thing has me fascinated.
Man, I'm eating like the most delicious Italian sheep milk cheese right now, and it's a little slice of heaven. I'm pretty happy. I know this is like the random life of Nate, but you're probably used to it after 5 years.
No, brother. I mean, send me a picture of the sandwich.
Mom, where's the meatloaf?
You know, right?
So, hey,
Mom!
Big ups on the. I'm not doing it. I'm not getting ran today. I love the Saturday coverage you dropped. It was great, man.
Hey, brother, appreciate you.
You did very well. So, real quick, let's separate everything we know about Frost. And I'm entertained by this. Who do you go to now? My vote is Gene Chizik.
For what?
If Frost doesn't come here, if we get totally shocked, if he has an emo moment where he says, you know what? If we do this good this year and win the bowl game,
Gene
and we
Chizik.
Start on top 10,
where did you come up with Gene Chizik? Why? Why did you come up with Gene Chizik?
Truthfully, I heard him doing a radio interview today, and I thought to myself,
of course,
oh my
that's
God.
What he does now because he's going
right.
to be looking for another gig because Carolina's going to blow him out.
Well, I mean, but think about this, though. He did decent at Iowa State.
He went 5-19. He didn't do decent at Iowa State.
At a time that they were worth like 3-4
Dude,
every year.
He ran to Auburn, found a preacher that had a quarterback, and
right?
then got whacked down there, and Gus took it over.
I don't know, man. I think Gene might do okay, bro.
Gene needs to go back to radio once his time at Carolina. The guy had to take another coordinator job as a head coach from being a head coach.
Scott says no. Who do you go to?
You cancel football.
Is it that bad for real? I mean, seriously, what would you do?
I cancel
Matt
football.
Campbell resigned.
I know.
I mean,
you'll find somebody, and you won't go Tennessee on anybody, but don't have to worry. I think things are okay.
Lane Kiffin?
No.
Oh,
we all have
on,
wives.
Man. You're no fun.
Take care. Enjoy that sandwich.
Bye, bro.
See
ya.
There he is. Why? Gene Chizik? How about Gene Katie?
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away from Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. We'll get his thoughts on the Big Ten Championship game. Oh, yes, that is this weekend. Can Whiskey pull it off? And I don't know who you're cheering for if you're a Nebraska fan. Yeah, that's a lot to ask. Let's just see a good game, huh? Can we do that? Miami and Clemson and no Bama. We'll get into this with Rick. But how certain are you of Bama being left out of this thing? Or do they find that? I'm laughing because little Colton, get on here. Cross both fingers.
Well, I think what you're hoping for the Ohio State-Wisconsin game is neither team shows up to the game.
Well, you need listen, I'm not going to chant SEC here, but I think I'm okay to say that Nebraska fans begrudgingly would cheer for
Wisconsin.
A national champion to come out of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin because of the Nebraska. I think there's some mad respect for Wisconsin. You don't like them, and maybe you got beer poured on you or sucker punched in Madison a couple of times. I could see that happening on top of what the the running backs have done to you. All that being said, it's still Barry in the captain's chair, and he's one of us.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's
you're in Nebraska.
The Barry Alvarez aspect. Yeah,
yeah. And I think you
and the Big Ten West.
You can't dislike Crist. He's a good dude.
He's never done anything wrong.
No, the pig farmer, he could rub you wrong. So we'll get caught up with Rick Pizzo 10 minutes away. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity, get his thoughts on some recruits in 2018. How are they leading with the coaching change? And his take on some of the roster stuff. And that's what I wanted to get into, and I think we're way too short to do it. So we'll just stick with the coaching carousel. I'll tell you what I think of the quarterback setup here coming up next hour in reference to Frosty's offense. But Jimbo Fisher here, is this a similar situation to Gundy where you'd just be nuts to leave and you're feeling a little bit sorry for yourself with the season you've had? So remember how good I have been, not what we just did. Show me some freaking courtesy. That's part of this. And you got to pull that out and leverage it when you have down seasons. You got to point back to the good seasons you had. If Florida State's facility is if its indoor facility is a mess, and I don't know, I haven't been down to Tallahassee, but I know Miami finally got one built, so it's new and shiny and awesome, which means Florida State's is now behind, and maybe there's duct tape on it. I don't know. But if you're trying to still win that Battle of Florida, you got Dan Mullen down there, who all he's ever done is find really good quarterbacks and been great with them. That's now at Florida. Florida State's coming off 2 years removed from, maybe it's 3 years removed from getting just worked by Ohio State. Oregon beat them from Mariota in the college football playoff, the back-to-back years. They won it with Jameis, and they went again with Jameis. And then they've had some really good bowl games, but Houston beat them in a New Year's Day 6. 2 years ago, they barely got by Michigan last year. Delvin Cook was incredible. And this season was a joke. But yeah, Jimbo needs some new toys down there in Tallahassee. And challenging Saban, who he used to work for, that might be a suicide mission, but it might wind his clock. I don't know. Rick Pizzo's on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, producing recruiting thoughts, staff thoughts, player disgruntlement thoughts from Greg Schmidt, the HailVarsity.com and magazine. You see him on Big Ten Network, Big Ten and beyond. He hosts, well, I don't know how many days a week, but a lot. Big Ten Buffet Time with Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Mr. Rick, how are you, sir?
Mr. Schmidt, I am terrific. I do get the occasional day off. You know, the league was nice enough to not schedule anything on Thanksgiving Day. So the turkey was cooked just right. Family time was there, and now we're locked and loaded in. Kind of waiting. I think like everybody else in your area is waiting for the next big news cycle to start.
Nope. You guys will be airing another press conference. We'll be covering soon. Another press conference, yep, very soon. And I want to go back to Saturday's press conference. Your reaction and thoughts on Bill Moose, his transparency, and kind of your gauge on his handle of the situation.
Yeah, pretty amazing how you don't very often hear an athletic director so open and willing to talk about specific names. Everybody says, I have a list in my pocket. You'll know when it is important to know. The folks that need to be contacted have been contacted. I give the reporters that were in attendance a ton of credit. They asked direct questions. And I give Bill Moose a ton of credit for answering those questions with direct answers and honesty. That was his reputation coming from Washington State. We didn't know a lot about him. We just knew that everyone that worked with him, said he was not the rock star AD. He didn't want to be one of those guys that was down in the field, all the attention on him. He wanted to do his job and make sure that he did it in a way that the programs which he oversees can have success. Now, you can win a lot of press conferences, but at the end of the day, you have to win games. Because, and I'm not making a comparison here, Chris, but I do remember a lot of people saying how impressed they were with Sean Eichhorst when he was introduced as the athletic director. And obviously, the football hire didn't go so well. The basketball hire right now under some scrutiny as well. So the proof will be in the pudding after a couple of years of this next and the first big decision Bill Moose has to make.
No, and he has kind of tracked things with his observation, and he mentioned the Minnesota game, and you know, things ended amicably from all accounts, and Riley even spoke to us after Bill Moose was done, and that never happens. The last guy to do that was Gary Barnett in Colorado that I remember, mm-hmm. Coach Barney doing that. So things didn't work out. It's too bad, but you move on, and you gave it a shot. That's kind of the sentiment. I want to ask you here about Scott Frost, and I know you have contacts down in SEC and ACC country, and maybe you talk about Frost, maybe you don't, but the thought here, the money line is that he's going to be here very soon, and based on what you've maybe seen or heard of his offense and his style, your point right now, how do you think that meshes up with what Nebraska has on hand offensively from a talent standpoint?
Well, if you look at what they had on hand this year, and that doesn't necessarily obviously apply to what they'll have on hand last year, mm-hmm. or next year, I should say. But I think the interesting thing, Chris, is this is a team that defensively obviously had a ton of deficiencies. Mm-hmm. But when you look offensively and what this team had, we went back and forth all year long about especially the wide receiving core. I think we knew how explosive DeMornay Pearsonell was, but obviously Spielman came on as one of the more explosive wide receivers in the conference. And the year that Stanley Morgan had was just mind-blowing. I just think that he is a guy who maybe you could say was the breakout player offensively in the Big Ten this year. Now, that doesn't count, obviously, Jonathan Taylor, because he's a freshman coming in. I'm talking about returning guys. Mm-hmm. But, how good was Morgan? If you put him in the right style of offense, and what he did this year in that offense was absolutely phenomenal. You know, a rising senior next year, and you hope he sticks around. He'll certainly get some looks, you know, I would think, from NFL teams. But when you put together the offensive output that Nebraska was able to put together, especially passing the ball, despite what they did defensively, and you add a guy who is known for doing really creative things offensively and getting the most explosive players in the best positions, I think that's a terrific match. Now, I told you the last time we talked, if it came down to Nebraska and Florida, I thought that Scott Frost would absolutely lean toward Florida because the national championship would be easier to win and quicker to get there in Gainesville than in Lincoln. That's off the table now. So the story has completely changed.
It has, and I think the leveling of the playing field is the fact that it's a native son, and there's no phone call that was made by Coach Osborne. There's no sense of duty. There's just probably it's home, and this is something that he probably, and again, man, I'm mind reading here, forgive me, but you know, if you're going through it, it'd be pretty cool to coach at your alma mater someday and try and win a championship. And push comes to shove, Florida's Florida. They've been great. They've had a ton of success. There's Spurrier, there's Urban, and then there's maybe you. But they'll also take you in the back room and pull a casino on you, yep. You know, Joe Pesci, if you're not doing it well in 3 years. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think you get more time here even if you are, because you are one of the Nebraskans coming back here.
Yes, I think you do, but I don't think it's a lot more time.
I still got to be good.
I think that day and age has sailed a little bit. Now, would he only get 3 years if he had the same 3-year record that Mike Riley had? I don't think so. I think maybe, yes, that history and the gamble, because it's going to be a lot of money. Mm-hmm. If Scott Frost comes, it is going to be a lot of cheese because he is a wanted man. Now, the options have obviously been limited now. You know, I mean, Matt Campbell is not going anywhere at Iowa State. Dan Mullen is already at Florida. Chip Kelly is at UCLA. Now, one more domino could fall. We understand maybe that Mike Gundy could potentially be on his way to Tennessee. But why would you take the Oklahoma State job over the Nebraska job? That to me would be a mistake to give up on your alma mater. Florida would have made a little bit of sense. I don't think Tennessee to me makes more sense than Nebraska. So now it does make a lot of sense. I do still think, though, there will be a hurry to win because it's just been too long, Chris. Just been flat out too long for a program that has the history and, more to the point, the facilities that Nebraska has. I understand the location makes recruiting more difficult than it is to places like Columbus, to places like South Bend, to places like Tuscaloosa. I understand all of that. But these type seasons, to not go to a bowl game when you were at Nebraska should be beyond the realm of possibility, unless it is a season in which so many weird things happen that it's out of your control. It's just too good of a program, too much history, and too solid facility-wise to let that happen.
It's crazy to not go to a bowl game coming off a 9-win season on top of that. Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN, Rick Pizzo. Rick, a thought here on the Big Ten Championship game. Your gut says what? Whiskey's unbeaten. They look great. Just when you kind of count them out, they step up and really play well and consistently on offense, O-line, and run game's great. But I'm talking Hornibrook, and he's been playing well. Their D's incredible. Ohio State maybe being undersold with their two losses. What do you think of Saturday?
My gut tells me Wisconsin. The bad news for the Badgers is my gut also told me Wisconsin in 2014, and that turned out to be 59-0 Ohio State. Now, this Wisconsin team is not banged up like that Wisconsin team was. I think this Wisconsin team is not built like that Wisconsin team was. I just don't see anybody being able to put 59 points on this team. I think Ohio State, if they can get half that many, wins this game, because I'm not sure that Wisconsin can get to that 30 number against this Ohio State defense, which, save the Iowa game, has been pretty good all year as well. I just feel like right now Ohio State has question marks. JT Barrett was not very good against Michigan. He's been questionable in so many games this year, with the exception of that terrific performance against Penn State. They go away from the run game and Dobbins and Weber so often. I just don't understand it, and they let JT carry the ball. I almost think that getting Dwayne Haskins in the game and being forced to use Weber and Dobbins against Michigan was almost a good thing for that offense. That's the recipe they need against Wisconsin. The big question is, can Wisconsin beat Ohio State down the field, down the seams, with guys like Troy Fumagalli, Danny Davis, without receivers like Quintez Cephas? Can they test that secondary enough to make sure that Greg Schiano can't put 8 or 9 guys in the box? Because Ohio State is going to do everything in its power to make sure Jonathan Taylor is not the guy that beats them.
Well, let's talk Schiano here and move off the title game. And I think you're right about, you know, how can Wisconsin loosen that front up a bit? How do you react to Schiano? How does Schiano react to kind of going back to his job as DC and how besmirched he was by Tennessee and their outcry?
I'm torn on this, okay? I appreciate and understand a fan base coming together believing that a head coach is not right philosophically, ethically for their program. That being said, all those assumptions were made on unproven allegations. And so what you've done to a man's reputation, and I blame Athletic Director John Curry more than I blame the fan base, is you have basically made him guilty before he has the ability to prove himself innocent, which is exactly the opposite of the way that our system of jurisprudence is supposed to work. Greg Schiano, you don't know. Nobody knows, except for Greg Schiano and the people that were inside that Penn State program at the time, what he did or did not know. And for the fan base to come out and say, we know that he was implicit in this Jerry Sandusky scandal is absolutely ridiculous, because they don't know that. And you've basically taken a guy and knocked him down so many pegs on the ladder that he may never get another chance to get a head coaching job. And that's not fair, because none of that has been proven. Now, Tennessee has made its bed, and it's going to have to lie in it. Now, if it gets lucky enough to lie in it with somebody like a Mike Gundy or a Jeff Brohm, good for them. Go ahead and do your thing. But I think Greg Schiano was treated unfairly because we don't know the things that the Tennessee fan base purports to know. And John Curry decided that lack of knowledge, but combined with the amount of passion, was enough for him to go back on a decision that we hope was well thought out in the first place. I just think it's an absolute disaster.
It is, man. And in leadership, you can't be that incompetent with vetting and then being unsure. Oh, here's my backlash. Here's my out. And it's brutal. Say Ohio State wins, and it's between Ohio State and Alabama for that fourth spot to get into the college football playoff. Who gets the nod?
I think it's Alabama. I think it's Ohio State, excuse me, because Alabama has a complete and total dearth of quality wins. And if you go back and look at what the committee has done year in and year out since this started back in 2014, nothing has been more important than quality wins. Ohio State would have the win over Penn State, which is going to be top 10 this week. They would have the win over Michigan State, which is going to be top 15 this week. Who knows where they end up on Sunday. And then they would have a win over Wisconsin, who I assume tonight will likely be probably number 3. So those are 3 top 15 wins. Alabama can't say that. Alabama didn't get to its own conference championship game. I know they only have one loss. I know the Iowa loss will hurt Ohio State. I don't think it hurts Ohio State against a non-champion Alabama team because they don't have quality wins. Now, if we get into a conversation about Ohio State versus a two-loss Clemson team or potentially a two-loss Oklahoma team, then we may have a different conversation.
You know, and that's just it. Vegas still has Bama as the national champion favorite. From your eye test, Rick, we got about a minute and a half left here. Where do you put Alabama? I mean, where if throw out the recent loss to Auburn. Auburn's a really good football team. They're playing great. But do you think could Bama beat most of these teams head-to-head?
I would have Alabama 7th right now. I think the committee will have them 6th. I would have Oklahoma 1, Wisconsin 2, Clemson 3, Auburn 4. I would have Georgia 5. I would have Ohio State probably 6 with Alabama just behind and Miami behind Alabama because I've never believed in Miami all year long. I think the committee will place Alabama over Ohio State, and not actually because they believe that Alabama is the better team, but because it gives them the very easy opportunity to jump Ohio State over Alabama if Ohio State has that extra data point and a championship game win. It doesn't penalize them at all to leave them there. So I think that's what the committee does tonight. I still think that Alabama is a very dangerous team, but you have to prove it on the field, and they have not done so against top-quality competition. Almost all those other teams that I mentioned have.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN, Rick Pizzo. Rick, we'll catch up next week and get set up for college football bowl season. Appreciate your time and your insight, man. Always great to chat with you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, buddy. Buckle in. I know it's going to be a crazy week for you in Lincoln.
It'll be good. Take care, bud.
Take care.
Thanks. There he is, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN, Rick Pizzo. We'll get some cruton done here with Greg Smith of Hail Varsity, his take on the roster and some of the prospects for this 2018 class. Also, some recruiting theory I want to get into with Greg. What's Nebraska do? What have they been doing when it comes to offers and evaluation? Is there a better way to do things? And a better way to make payments is with zero interest on those payments. I love that. Rick lets you do it with Sauter Heyman. 0% interest financing through 2020. It's Sauter Heyman. Think about that. Holiday season is just about here, and they have an extensive collection of both Earth Mind and Pure Grown diamonds for you. More importantly, for her, for you to pick up. 1 carat diamonds available, $99 down, $99 a month. 0% interest financing through 2020. Go see Santa Rick. Rick Heyman, Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Can log on SauterHeyman.com through 2020. That is quite a while. 0% interest financing. I'm going to throw out that you'll have a conference or at least a division championship by 2020. It'll match up. You can celebrate. Get to Sauter Heyman today. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity shortly. Hail Varsity continues presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You can log on HailVarsity.com, the Honda of Lincoln fan poll. Get your vote in. How long do you expect Nebraska's coaching search to last? 1 week or less, between 1 and 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks. That's A, B, and C. I always fell for the D and E and overthought it. We welcome in Greg Smith, always on it with recruiting coverage and insight at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Mr. Greg, how was the ham?
It was excellent as always. It was, as usual, more tasty than turkey.
You are a winner because we had ham at our place for Thanksgiving, and it was fantastic. It was well done. It was just everything that you dream of. It was, well, it was what getting fat and napping all day is all about. We got a workout in, though, this Saturday with the Mike Riley press conference. And, Greg, you've been all over Nebraska coverage. I want to start with recruiting philosophy here and kind of get your read on how Nebraska's been doing their business recruiting-wise and how you think they may do their business recruiting-wise. Tough question, I know, because we don't know who's the head coach. We think we know, but kind of run with that right now. Any tweaks or thoughts you have on how it could be better than it's been?
Yeah, I mean, there's some big ones that jump out to me. I mean, the always low-hanging fruit is to talk about the 500-mile radius, but I don't think that it is. Like, it's hard to overstate, especially in, you know, the 2018 cycle, the 2019 cycle, how important that radius really is, particularly when you look at the St. Louis area, Missouri, but even when you swing out to Colorado and states like that. Like, it's there's a lot of talent out there for Nebraska, and making sure that they continue that presence there and increase it more and more is a really big deal. And I think that making sure going forward for Nebraska that they don't get caught up so much in necessarily star chasing and making sure that they have, you know, all of the guys with all of the stars next to their name, but they're finding the best football players that fit their roster and fit the offense and defense that they're trying to run. I think the previous staff, I'm not used to saying previous yet, the previous staff got a little bit too caught up in that and didn't have enough backup plans warm when those guys ended up turning them down.
You know, the way you put it, star chasing is so appropriate. And you know what? You look at measurables. You look at guys that have attributes. They're bigger, stronger, faster coming in. Who doesn't want that, right? Who doesn't want Julio Jones? Nick wanted Julio. Everybody wanted Julio. Only Nick got him. The way you make your money and get your wins and win conference titles is by being right on the 2.5 to 3-star guy that by his third year turns into a Prince Amukamara. And is that more of the blueprint you think could be headed to Nebraska from a recruiting philosophy?
Yeah, I think that you're probably heading more that way. But it's interesting, too, though, is that even with those 4- and 5-star players, I'm not saying by any stretch to just ignore them, but you're not saying it either, I know. But what I'm saying is when you pick those guys and you're trying to cherry-pick those 4- and 5-star players, I'm like, which of those guys actually really fit what you're trying to do and look like something that you've been able to produce in your players before, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when that's what people really mean when they're talking about how Iowa and Wisconsin and Michigan State teams like that develop their players, is that they have a template of how they kind of go about this thing and then end up developing their players so that even if they're getting 2- and 3-star players, they're developing them into 4- and 5-star type of college players. Previously, we just don't know how that looked for Nebraska. Now, part of that is the staff. That staff didn't have a ton of time to be able to do that, but I'm also not 100% sure that they knew all the time what they were looking for, and that also is getting some of the confusion behind the scenes cleaned up as to who needed to be approving offers and who was actually, you know, kind of saying who could be recruited and all of that. Like, a lot of that stuff has to be cleaned up going forward as well.
Do you have if Greg Smith was given the keys to a Porsche, Ferrari, Benz, whatever, and we'll say for argument's sake Nebraska is that type of program, it's a blue blood with the population being what it is, Is there a program you respect that you know about how they do their business when it comes to deciding who makes the offer and how they go ahead and do the old sausage making to scout and then send an offer out?
No, I haven't necessarily one particular program in mind with that. I just think that you have to have, and I think the best programs do have kind of a clear vision and a pecking mm-hmm. order for that. And people that have been in those positions to evaluate high school athletes coming into college before. It's not necessarily about trying to emulate another program in my mind. It's about trying to make sure you have a unified message and vision of how you're actually going about your business.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. So let's talk about some of the 18 commits, 2018 kids. What's the vibe? What's the feel? How are they dealing with Coach Riley being dismissed, the assistants being dismissed? We'll get to roster and current guys in a minute, but let's talk about 2018. How are things shaping up for Nebraska?
Yeah, you know, currently the overall vibe is that, you know, all of the guys were upset to see and sad to see Mike Riley and staff go. That obviously they had built really positive relationships with them to be able to commit to the school. And particularly, you know, you hear most about kind of the wide receivers and the defensive backs just because generally by nature those guys are the ones that tweet the most and give the most interviews. But the guys along the defensive line, guys like Tate Wilderman, had a strong relationship with, say, John Perella. It's difficult to sever that relationship, but a guy like Tate Wilderman has also told me that, you know, he's committed to Nebraska still. He's a Husker. He wants to be a Husker. He just hopes that the new coach has him, you know, in his future plans. And sticking with Tate in particular, yes, he's aware of the name Scott Frost, and he says he would welcome that change, and he feels like a lot of the current commits feel the same way in the way that they've been talking to each other. So for the most part, they're all taking kind of a wait-and-see approach. You'll always have a little bit of a risk here and there with guys like maybe a Cameron Brown, who has been looking around at Ohio State for quite a while now. We know that he had interest in them before he recommitted to Nebraska. That was a school to watch out for. So you still have those types of situations, and you're going to have that here for a little bit until you have a staff officially, formally in place, and they can go ahead and re-recruit these guys.
What's your gut feel say about we have 9 kids that are verbally committed? If you were to give me a percentage on how solid the ground is the ice breaking? Is it solid? Are you unsure of is there a crack in the future? How are these kids at? And if it is Frost, we think it is Frost. Have you noticed kind of an uptick in excitement level too? Because, I mean, they see what's going on. They see the excitement of that offense. They see how their defense plays. They know about a little bit, at least through their own eyes, what that staff's been able to do down south.
Yeah, see, that's where it gets interesting, is that it's so hard to project when Nebraska is really in limbo right now, where they don't have anything officially announced. Like, as much as all of us here kind of, you know, believe that it's going to be Scott Frost, the recruits can't operate in that way, though they can, like I said, can still be excited about that possibility, and they're definitely thinking about that. And I know that some of the skill position guys in particular have had an eye on UCF and is perfectly aware of what they've been doing offensively. But part of this also will come down to if, in fact, Nebraska does not retain the duo of Williams, Keith and Dante, whether who's going to be in those positions and then in the position to re-recruit some of these players like a Josh Moore or Mario Goodrich. You still have to be able to make those connections. It would be easier if those two were back on the staff, not saying that it's a prerequisite for the new coach by any stretch of the imagination. And I still think that Keith has the best opportunity of those guys to be able to stick around. But we still have to have a lot play out to see how it is. But right now, my sense is that they're not on as much shaky ground as we maybe thought they would have been with this class coming into all of this.
What's the new staff walking into when it comes to current roster, be it the quarterbacks, the wideouts, or the defensive backs who were pretty loyal to Coach Dubb, pretty loyal to Dante, and also, I mean, you have a couple of high-profile quarterbacks that were in that room along with Tanner Lee.
You know, I'll start with the quarterback spot. Like, I feel like the quarterbacks are going to be in, like I keep saying, wait and see, but they're going to have to be in that wait and see mode to see, A, you're going to have kind of a wide open room, right? I personally don't expect Tanner Lee to be back on this roster next year when spring ball rolls around, and I think that'll be more because he decides to go pro. If it's Frost, I just can't see him fitting into the offense, even though I know that when Chip went to the NFL, he tweaked that offense to be able to work it that way. Mm-hmm. But I just can't see that. And if they go ahead and go the JUCO route and bring in another guy to compete, or a guy like Noah Federal comes from Central Florida to be able to then redshirt and compete the following year, like, I feel a shakeup is happening in that quarterback room regardless, because you'll just need the depth. At the other positions, it's going to depend largely on if those guys really feel like they should go out there on the open market and find another school, or if they want to try and continue building what they started here. Because I would also, as a new coach, walk in and say very bluntly, hey, if you guys don't want to get on board, you know, you're more than welcome to leave. But when you're going somewhere else, look back at the last thing that you put on film. Is that something that you really want to be representing you out there? Like, I would have, you know, fair but direct conversations with players about that.
I think you're right on. I mean, the wideouts did well, but there was a lot of yards for Stan that you left on the field. Spielman was fantastic, but he can raise his game. And then the I'm looking at Lamar, and man, you just see the potential of his athleticism and size and speed, but the ability to deal with contact is missing right now, you know? And
right.
And it's just, it's too bad, because he's got all the skills there to be something really, really special at safety or at corner. Greg Smith's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. Greg, about 30 seconds, man. What's coming up with you, from you, on HailVarsity.com?
Yeah, I've been trying to look into some of these. We were talking about the quarterbacks, looking into some potential options that Nebraska could have, you know, should they nudge, wink, wink, end up down the Scott Frost road, about some options. And I'm going to tell you a little preview to that article, and that there's quite a few good options for Nebraska and some connections that Scott Frost has that I don't think that they would be totally without a potential dual-threat quarterback in 2018.
That is good news. And you know what, though? I'm interested to see, too. I mean, I look at P.O.B. ran for almost 700 yards his senior year. Mm-hmm. And Jebbia was very fluid in the pocket at Calabasas. I don't know. I mean, I think there are worse things to come into if it is indeed Scott Frost. Greg, you have a great night. Awesome info. Thanks for the time today, bud.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. You guys have a good one.
You too. Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Thoughts on recruiting on the current roster, 2018 class. Good stuff from Greg. You can find the podcast, HailVarsity.com. A quick timeout. We'll talk about fitting that offense to the Florida offense.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Greg Smith. Can find Hail Varsity Radio on HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or on iTunes. We'll get to Dak Prescott's pregame meal combination in a minute. That sounds super judgmental. It's supposed to be. We'll get there in a minute. If you've noticed, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but a different soybean sign in your neighbor's fields this year. It's AgriGold. Our customers have had the access to select soybean varieties direct from their family farm the AgriGold way. What's that mean? High expectations for every seed in the ground. And their approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more information, visit agrigold.com. Okay, let's get into this discussion here. Offense, and I said the Florida offense. Slap me both hands, please. Didn't mean Florida. I meant Central Florida. The Frost offense. The combo of Osborne and Chip Kelly, right? Well, let's hear from Chip Kelly on how he's going to UCLA. UCLA is not a pro style per se, but they make me think more about pro style than spread.
I think anything you do, whatever scheme you run, has to be tailored to the personnel you have. I think you can have a vision of what you're going to recruit to, and this is what we're looking to get to. But I think you really have to evaluate, you know, we're going to play and we're going to open up next year, and we're not going to say, hey, you know, in 2 or 3 years when we get our guys in here.
Right. So Chip's like, kind of laying down the law. This is what we want to do. This is how we're going to do it. You're going to see what personnel you have and make it work, and don't have too awful a first year. In fact, have a great first year. Sounds fair. So let's talk about that vision here. If you're looking at quarterback run, If you're looking at quarterback run, when Scott Foster, the offensive coordinator at Oregon, with a guy named Mariota, that was awesome. Or if you look at a quarterback run with Milton, your average is about 7 to 10 carries a game. And you look at Nebraska's roster, and let's take Tanner Lee off the table. Let's take Tanner Lee to the NFL. Tanner Lee is a graduate transfer, and I know he's got some schoolwork to do. Tanner Lee's awesome, talented kid. Wish him the best, but he just, you're not going to ask him to run 8 to 10 times a game. You're just not. And the old zone read spread has zero threat to it with him as the quarterback, as the run threat. Tristan Jebbia, what's he do? Don't know. There's run threat to me with him. There's run threat with Patrick O'Brien. He showed it to you a few times, running for his life. There's some toughness to Patrick O'Brien. So say you're Scott Frost, you're coming in here. If you think or you kind of know you're coming in here, you're evaluating the roster as we speak. Yet somebody doing that, watching film, talking to people, and you have quarterbacks in O'Brien and Jebbia that you're going to say, give me a chance, I want to give you a chance. You have Terry Wilson that's at a junior college that was a dual threat dude that ended up at Oregon and then left Oregon when he didn't get the job and probably didn't help that Helfrich and everybody's out the door, and here comes Taggart. Okay? Although Taggart's offense with Flowers down at South Florida that Charlie inherited was pretty good. So you're coming into this, and I think if you have a pocket guy that is good on accuracy, good on reads, the more mental side of things, and you ask him to come in to do a spread, no huddle, tempo type thing, am I nuts to think that there's no such thing as an easy transition? But is it an easier transition to go from pocket to spread with a little sprinkling of run game versus what Tommy Armstrong was asked to do? Well, let's dial that back. Tommy was kind of catered to. Let's go back to Joe Daly, okay? What Joe was asked to do. You're a dual threat guy asked to run a pro style. That's never worked. Never is a long time. I don't remember it working. So you have options at quarterback. And if I look at Central Florida's offense and the bubble screens they use, the routes they have, the gash plays they invoke, mixing in the threat, the threat of the quarterback extending a play or hurting you, I think Nebraska has people on the roster right now that can do that. A.J. Bush would have been sweet to have here. If you're a Nebraska fan, he left. He's at Vautech. You know that. So I look at Nebraska right now, and you have two quarterbacks. Maybe you go get Terry Wilson. Maybe Vedral comes back. Good quarterback. He's had some time down there and backup mop-up or injury duty when Milton's gone down. And then I think of players like Stanley in the Frost offense. I look at guys like Tyjon Lindsey in this offense. And then a guy like Stoll as an H-back moving around. How about Ben Miles in this offense? I mean, I think you could hit the ground running and be a high-performing, better than this year or last year offense. Because in Big Ten play, and time will tell, Big Ten play, your offense has been anemic. It's been awful. It's been inconsistent. It's been anything but balanced. The thing that saved you in the last 18 months has been your quarterback run game when you've had it. But for the most part, your offensive line hasn't played well enough to give your quarterback time to go through reads and make plays. It's been under duress, and then you've had no run game. So this may be a better option, and if you're an offense in college football going against a defense, you can't not have the threat of a quarterback run. Here is the difference in winners and losers Let's go back to the Iron Bowl. I would have lost your money and my money had I bet on Alabama on Saturday. I picked them to win because of Jalen Hurts, and he's been big time. Well, he was a mess throwing the football. Stidham's more of a pocket guy than a dual threat guy, but he's kind of that mobile pocket guy. And he ran for a touchdown, kept some plays alive, dirtied out a 6 or 7 yard gain. He didn't turn it into a 50-yard run, but he was just threatening enough, and he outplayed Jalen Hurts. The offense was good enough against the Bama D, and that Auburn defense was incredible. There's something maybe you can kind of circle if you're a Nebraska fan with what you've got on the roster as quarterbacks and what Auburn's been using this year in their spread, in their tempo run game. It's been 80% I-back, but you sprinkle in some quarterback dual threat ability. I think that's going to be a winner for Nebraska. This is all under the assumption that number 7 comes back home. And that style of offense is what you see. We'll wind down a Tuesday. On the way, that Dak Prescott pregame meal. We can discuss it. If you're going out tonight, make plans to get that sober ride home. You get a DUI, face up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time. And that interlock device isn't sexy. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Isaiah's doubtful for Boston College. And other than that, he's day by day.
Jim Miles today, man, with the media. We'll have more from Coach Miles tomorrow. Boston College, Nebraska, ACC, Big Ten Challenge. Friend of ours called Calvin Klein called up and got a couple of tickets for tomorrow. Excited about that. Of course, I offered to Junior first before the wife. Less headache. Okay, let's talk about pregame meals. Colton, you're a big sweet potatoes and chicken guy, right?
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, that's
something kind of light, but carbo load a little bit.
Right, right. And you and your health and your workout schedule, whatever. Jealous. Dak Prescott, pregame meal. This was on Twitter. This was at AT&T. So it's spaghetti with chicken,
okay,
and ranch. And I don't know if it's warm noodles, if it's just cold spaghetti noodles that have been cooked with ranch and chicken. I can get behind that. Need a little bacon bits, probably. A little black cracked pepper. But I don't know that. I mean, listen, I love ranch like the next guy, but I don't love ranch like Searles does. As in, got to feel right to use it on pizza. And if you do, that's fine. If you're a pizza and ranch guy, whatever. But spaghetti and chicken with ranch. And I've never been a huge spaghetti guy, but I could try this.
Now, is it spaghetti, like the noodles with ranch, or is this like...
I don't... There's not...
Spaghetti and marinara
There's no ragu in this thing.
Okay.
Thank God. Because if you had ragu with ranch and chicken...
That's a no-go.
That sounds kind of disgusting. It probably would be okay, but the thought right now, if you have hot... Because you can't put ranch on...
It's got to be cold spaghetti.
Right. Because you can't really do ranch with warm, can you?
No, it'd be...
Barf, right?
Yeah. I like ranch, but...
Right, but you just don't put it on warm things. Hence, it going on salad.
Or like... You know, chicken tenders, fries, something like that. Something,
sure.
Something you dip standard. It
thank you.
But not...
You do ranch and fries, huh?
Yeah.
Well, were you out of mayonnaise?
Well, no, I do ranch on a lot of things, but not hot spaghetti. That's not on my list.
But I don't have confirmation that it's hot spaghetti with ranch and chicken. But what's the difference other than the sauce? If you look at... what's the dish I'm thinking of here? It's like a cheese cream sauce.
Are you thinking like Alfredo?
Yeah, chicken Alfredo. Thank you.
Well, I mean, Alfredo goes with hot noodles, though.
No, it does.
And it just feels right. I don't know. I think it's made for pasta. I think that's the difference there.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get you ready for Nebraska, Boston College. More news on the week of waiting tomorrow. More coaching carousel. Does Jimbo end up at A&M? Does the mullet go to Rocky Top? I will tell you in 24 hours. Thanks for your time. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow, Brandon Vogel, Brad Edwards, and former Husker standout in Southeast Knight, Jake Mielheisen for Mr. Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt. We'll talk to you next time on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.